Gracious God, as we turn again to your word, we ask that you would speak, that you would teach us grace. We pray these things in Jesus' strong name. Amen. Once upon a time, there was a sailor, and he had gone astray. And in the midst of a storm, God turned his life around. And he penned these words one time. He said, "Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. It was grace that brought me thus far, and it's grace that will lead me home." Of course, the song begins, "Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see." His name wasn't Jonah, it was actually John Newton. He was a sailor, a rather pagan sailor at that. He became the captain of a ship, and he became a slaver. And he bought and sold humans. And he did it well. But one night he was reading Thomas Kempis's book, Imitation of Christ. And a little bit later, there was this storm. And in the midst of the storm, his life was turned around. Not that he found grace, but that grace found him. And he was changed. Because he was lost, and now he's found. Our passage today comes from Luke chapter 15. And it says this: "Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, 'This man welcomes sinners and eats with them.' Then Jesus told them this parable. There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has his son back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him.' 'My son,' the father said, 'you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" Amen. At first glance, you may be wondering, what this story has to do with where we've been all weekend, but of course, it becomes a little obvious through some of that, doesn't it? If you think through the book of Jonah that we've been studying, the book of Jonah sort of divides itself pretty clearly between chapter 1 and 2 and 3 and 4, which also seems to fit really well with a younger son and an older son. Jonah chapter 1, we have Jonah straying and running from God. We have the younger brother repentant and then returning. Chapter 3 and 4, we have an older brother, Jonah, the prophet judging this wayward people, but more importantly, judging a good father. It's a familiar biblical pattern when you start finding it. When you start looking for it, you'll see it everywhere. Kind of an older self-righteous brother and a younger, often wayward brother. This pattern is all throughout the scriptures. Cain and Abel. Cain jealous of Abel, so he kills him. The story of Joseph and his brothers being jealous of the coat, and they send him far, far away. Eliab and David, David's older brother, and David, I guess I have another brother. He's, I don't know, he's out in a field somewhere. The special case of this, the one that fits almost a little too well, is the story of Esau and Jacob. Jacob steals the birthright from his older brother. Jacob gets out of town, runs away. Jacob was supposed to be the one who was blessing others. Instead, he just blesses himself. And yet after some time, he returns. He's repentant. And he extends blessings back toward Esau. And after a little bit of wrestling with God, he's changed. It's a story all throughout the scriptures. There's a younger brother, and there's an older brother. But remember, all of this isn't the story. All that we've been talking about this weekend isn't actually the story of a wayward prophet, and it's not about sailors, and it's not about Ninevites. It's not even really a story about us. It's the story of God, and the story of God's grace. And we see it in small in this little parable, and we see it in small in the story of Jonah. It's a story of a God who chases after us. Jonah runs from God, and God runs after him. Jonah gets thrown overboard, and God saves him. The younger brother realizes what he's done, and he starts coming back. And while he was still a long way off, not after he had groveled, but after he was a long way off, which also means the father was looking, hoping. And when he sees him in the distance, he runs to him and brings him back. That's what grace does. It chases the wayward prophet and it runs toward the younger son. Grace chases us. And then you have that same wayward prophet. He preaches to Nineveh and then he ends up on a hill east of Nineveh, and he's angry. And most of us think, just let him sulk. But that's not what grace does. Grace runs after him and engages with him and changes him. It's just like the older brother in this story. The older brother's outside, and he's judging. How could, not just the younger brother, but the father. And the father, again, there's a party going on. If he wants to sulk, he can do it. If he wants to be angry, he can do it. But that's not what grace does. The father runs outside to engage with this older son who's struggling. And he changes it. He changes the story. Grace chases after us. Grace runs to us, whether we are the younger son and astray, or the older brother, self-righteously looking down on others. Grace chases after us. And interestingly, like we just talked about at the end of Jonah, We get the same ending in this story as well. And then the story just ends. It doesn't does the older brother come back? Does the older brother reconcile with his younger brother? Does the older brother reconcile with the father? In many ways, like Jonah, that's up to us. But this story isn't about us. It's about God. It's about a father who chases after us. Because that's what grace does. We've spoke about it a bunch all throughout this weekend, but if sin is running away from God, if sin is keeping God at bay, grace is the fact that God chases after us. Once there was a little bunny who wanted to run away. So he said to his mother, "I am running away." "If you run away," said his mother, "I will run after you, for you are my little bunny." "If you run after me," said the little bunny, "I will become a fish in a trout stream, and I will swim away from you." "If you become a fish in a trout stream," said his mother, "I will become a fisherman, and I will fish for you." "If you become a fisherman," said the little bunny, "I will become a little sailboat, and I will sail away from you." "If you become a sailboat and sail away from me," said the mother, "I will become the wind and blow you where I want you to go." "If you become the wind and blow me," said the little bunny, "I will become a little boy and run into a house." "If you become a little boy and run into a house," said the mother bunny, "I will become your mother and catch you in my arms and hug you." "Shucks," said the bunny, "I might just as well stay where I am and be your little bunny." And so he did. "Have a carrot," said the mother bunny. Grace chases after us. It chases after the sailors. It chases after the Ninevites. It ran to the younger son and embraced him. It went out to the older brother and tried to bring him back. It went to extraordinary measures to bring back a wayward prophet that was always running away. And it chases after us as well. That's what grace does. Grace chases after us. Grace changes us. And grace will lead us home. Let's pray. Lord God, we do thank you for your grace. New every morning. And we thank you that you are the God that chases after us. No matter how we stray, no matter how far we go, you are with us. Lord, help us to feel and experience your presence and your grace anew in our life every day. We pray all these things in the strong name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.